This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and all the other podcast things. If you want to be part of that conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, drop us a comment. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your support for Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, a hoodie that I just purchased myself, actually, phone covers, tote bags, anything you want with our logo smacked on it, it's probably there.
Sex toys still not any Sex further toys along still, in production.
In production. Dave Chataway is first pre-order, apparently.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, he jumped in the comments of last week. He's like, yes, please.
He can, because we need beta testers and reviewers. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, we need to get the good word out there.
So you know, if him and his lovely wife could give us a review, it'd be fantastic.
Don't bring Georgie into this.
I won't. Dave will.
Who do you want tonight? The Ryan, the Josh, or the Dylan?
All three.
How are you, my friend?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How's the week been?
Hot. Busy.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
Parents are on a vacay next week. So, running the business.
Man the fort.
Yeah. Take the jobs, do the billing, get the parts, all the things.
Scared?
Nah. It's not difficult. That side of things I don't find difficult. The actual fixing the things is kind of difficult. Because you take the lid off. And one
air conditioner repair, by the way.
Air conditioner repair. Technically refrigeration mechanic.
Yes. Yep.
You take the lid off, there's like spiders and shit everywhere. So
and
like,
mold, apparently.
Mold, dead mice, asbestos. You know, it's all cool. Oh, but then, you know, you clear all that away, and then it's just a mess of wires. And you got to take this like one little board out. It's intimidating. And then you put your hand in there and realize you didn't turn off the power, so you get a shock. And then your heart's like beating all irregularly, and you wonder if you should go home, but you want to finish the job so the client's happy. So you're paid. Yeah.
And you have like a heart murmur for the rest of the day. And
yeah, and then I have a cigarette, my lungs get a little bit blacker. So I'm just kicking.
That plus the asbestos.
Just kicking goals all around. How about you?
Yeah, no, I've had an all right week. It's been average, but it's been fine. A little man's a bit sick at the minute. Speaking of more sick people, I think you caught what I had.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Yeah, I know, what a bite for real bad.
I could see the news headline now. Father kisses son, makes him sick.
Yeah. So you gave your son too much affection. I'm like, oh.
to jail with you.
Like, oh.
Filthy pedo.
We've been playing. Wait, dumb question. You've been playing Monsanto?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
I haven't played it all week.
Oh, crap. Get out.
Nah. Well, I've done everything. And no, I haven't done everything, but I've killed every monster multiple times. I've got probably 5 full like armor set builds for different weapons, so I can mix up the playstyle and use the hammer, sword and shield, gun lance, insect glaive. I can go between it whenever I want. I've got all the event stuff up to now. I've got the sweet Aloy costume and the bow. So now I'm just waiting for the more stuff. So I don't really see a need to jump in to it at the moment. So I bought the Order 1886.
Oh, nice. A disc or digital?
Disc.
Ooh, like my brother.
$13. Well, I went to EB Games to get The Division, which we're going to talk about later, and they had this table of buy two, get one free if they're under $24.
Yeah.
So The Division was $23. The Order was $18. Then I picked up a certain game for Alex for his birthday, which I won't say in case he ends up watching this. So I got the 3 games for $42. That's pretty sweet. Yes, I played The Order for a while. It's cool. I like it. I can see why people dislike it. There is a lot of cutscenes, a lot of chitty chat, and quick time events and stuff. But it's an interesting setting.
Is it look schmick?
Still looks schmicko. Interesting setting. The old Victorian London, and I had no clue there was lichens in it.
Yeah.
So you know that's the thing that surprised me. Probably about 3 hours in. I think I'm about halfway through.
Yeah,
it's not very long, I think. Played The Division a bit more as well. I don't remember it being so hard.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm doing like.
You just build a new character.
I started a new character, played for about 5 levels till I kind of got my bearings again and all that. Then I jumped back into my old character that we used to play together with.
No, that we started playing and you steamrolled ahead of me, so I
I'm like
playing.
2 levels above where you were.
Fuck off, you were.
I am. I'm level 21. You were like level 18.
Oh, that's not so bad then.
Yeah, we could literally be doing the same missions.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, so I went into an appropriate level mission and all I can think of is maybe I'm doing group content by accident.
Maybe.
Because I'm getting fucking steamrolled in this game. But it's cool. Mm. But we'll talk more about The Division later because... that's one of the news topics and all that kind of business.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, I was going to check how much Division was on PSN. Can you find that for me?
$50.
Oh, fuck that noise. I'm going to heap again.
20. I think I got the last one.
Oh.
Having said that, I flicked through till I found it and didn't continue flicking through, obviously. So
and there's like 18 in the next line.
As far as I know, I got the last one because I didn't see any more.
I streamed The Forest on Wednesday. So that
how
was
is that? Because... it's the kind of game Alex likes, kind of game I enjoy playing with him. You know, we do Minecraft, 7 Days to Die, like the survival crafty games. And it seemed to be, obviously, a little bit scarier.
Yeah, a bit more realistic than Minecraft.
Yeah, but it seemed enjoyable from the trailers, but I haven't wanted to take that dive.
Yeah, so I didn't have to make the dive either. Our good buddy Chris Conway was like nice enough to gift me the game on Steam.
Ooh.
So, yeah, because I watched him stream it. He's like, you got to do it, dude. I'm like, yes, Steam and PCs and stuff. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, I did a thing.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, you babe. It's fun. Like, it's good. Like, it's... the only thing I dislike about it, it's somewhat directionless survival.
Now.
As in, you're in a plane lands, you've got to find your son. But there's no, like, clear... like, other than the objective of, like, hey, do these small things to get to here. It's very, very open-ended. And which... It's good of a survival game, but even like Metal Gear Survivor is an example. It's survival, but it's you're always pushing an objective. You're always moving forward. Like you always have a destination.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks, I guess. You know, people like the direction.
It's what it comes down to, yeah.
But then, like, you know, 7 Days to Die, as far as I can tell, the whole thing is about how many days can you survive for? Because, you know, it gets progressively harder as time goes on. I think Alex and I made it to like day 40 something before we ended up kicking the bucket. So I think that's the appeal of those games.
Yeah, I certainly see the appeal, and like it was kind of hard playing because when when the game goes night, it goes pitch black, and with the lights in here and the reflection of the TV, I can't see a damn thing. So I just in the night, just kind of start the lighter. It's fun. There's the sound design was really really cool as well. That's what I found the most playing. You'd hear these weird like because the enemies are like these cannibals. Kind of fucked, and they're like really scared, like really like quick on their feet, and kind of do weird shit. And
the Mel Gibson film,
Apocalypto. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the tribal. Yeah, like, real fucked up cannibals.
Yeah, and they're all kind of like they'll get up in your shit, and they'll kind of walk up, and they'll push you, and then they'll bounce, and they'll step back a bit, and they'll push the boundaries.
So they're not just like.
They'll sit and they'll stay at the distance and kind of watch you and climb a tree, and
you can see them as that's like, fucking scary.
There was a moment. There was a moment where I found the cockpit of the plane. On this island in the middle of this lake, I'm like, oh, crap. So I walk out of it and then I see 6 of them run across the valley. I'm like, oh, shit.
That's awesome. That sounds cool as.
Shit. Yeah. And then when I was playing around later, I found like a bucket of paint. And I and like you press an act and you paint yourself red.
Mm.
And then the next time the cannibals swim, they're like, oh, and they stopped and they bowed.
Why?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Then they sit there, start going, oh. I'm like, I've just age vampired this. I'm like, walalo.
Maybe it's like blood, so you look like a fierce warrior.
Maybe that's what it is. Because like, even like, there was like a shaman-y sort of guy. He had like a
headdress
and stuff. And he's walking to me, and he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, bitch. And then
it starts raining.
That happened. I found it later on. I was like, oh, because I'm being chased. Because I was an idiot. After I died the first time after surviving like 2 days, I was like, oh, I'm going to go back in. I was playing safe. Fuck them. Let's have fun with this. Start punching everything that I saw. And then I'm just getting swamped by like 6 of them. I'm like, hey, paint. Raining. The game is fun. Like, it's good fun. I want to deep dive in it a little bit more. It is coming to PS4, apparently. It is still in early access on the PC.
I thought it already was on PS4.
It may be.
You keep
talking. Have a look. I'm
sure it already was.
I want to deep dive a little bit into it because I can feel the... I felt the fun. I could feel the beginnings.
It's coming to PS4 30th of May. No, that's a lie. It is. There's an article from December saying it's coming to PS4 this year.
Okay, cool. I know it's still vague because I believe the forest is hitting like 1.0.
Oh, there was a trailer from PSX last year.
Okay.
That's where I first saw it.
Yeah,
of course, PSX. Sense. There was a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know it goes full release next month.
Uh-huh.
On PC, so I assume it's probably not far off. Now, unlike other games that are, you know, PC games coming to PS4, the menu system is pretty straightforward, pretty stock standard. So there's not going to be too much dicking around like Ark on console. It's almost unplayable.
That's what I hated the most about 7 Days to Die.
Yeah,
because it was the PC menu. So, you know, you got to use the mouse pad like a cursor, and it was just real clunky. And
none of that. No time for that.
Cool.
Actually, haven't really played a lot. One thing I did do, though, I reached out to our buddy, not our buddies, we've only just started dealing with them. I started with Razer Australia, and I'm like, hey.
Doesn't mean they can't be our buddies.
They can be our buddies. They said hello. I count that as buddies. So they sent us the review copy of the Razer Thresher 7.1. That's these bad boys right
copy.
Here.
Review unit?
Review copy? I'm so used to saying review copy because we rarely do we dive into tech, so I'm used to using game terms. But no, we've
received tech goes to you because I don't know where to
start. Yeah, receive unit thingy of the Razer Thresher. There you go, have a fiddle with that. So I'm used to using the Razer Manowar 7.1. Now granted, 5.1 I think. Now I've only used this for a couple of hours just last night because I only arrived yesterday at the time of recording. The first thing for me, being wireless, I keep feeling I'm looking for the cord because I play with the Manowar, which is wired and it sits in the controller. So I'm used to having the cord hit my chest and I got the headset on and it's just I'm like it, this weird kind of thing. It looks huge on your head.
Because I'm little. I love very first PC headset I had this kind of a microphone.
Yeah,
and I've loved them ever since. I don't know. I just love that you can put it away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, obviously I've got one of the Astros and you flick it up and then it's off and whatever, but it's still there. And I just love being able to tuck it away. It's all, like, bendy and shit.
Yep.
This is why I don't review tech, though.
Yeah. I like because it's bendy and shit.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat, a couple of things that I like, obviously, is the material headband. It sits nicely on my big head. Once again, compared to the Manowar, which they are off camera over there, by the way, it's a big plastic top, so it kind of can easily dig in my. If it's not sitting in just the right spot, it'll dig into your head.
Oh, says you with your lush head of hair.
Yeah.
What do you think I
feel? I'm saying it cuts through my hair. How's that sound?
Jeez.
Yeah, and this.
Look, like deglove my head.
The wireless on this is rad. I was like last night when everyone's asleep. I'm like, I want to see how far I can take this. I wandered from my lounge room to this corner here, just fine. Walked down to the other end of the house, just fine. This morning, I tried to wander into the bedroom, died. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, really? That one extra room.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, because like I went into my kitchen, which is, I have like a big open kitchen dining area, and I went into the butler's pantry to where the bin is, and it cut out. I'm like, that's super weird.
I don't know.
It's super comfy. I said I've been listening to a lot of music with it so far. I used my most played of songs of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the first songs I tested on this were Return of the Mac.
Oh, okay.
And Breathe by Blue Cantrell.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's good. And then I know, like what music did you test? Like, I don't know, some really old songs. And then this morning I played a bit of Doom. Soundtracks, tried different genres.
Yeah.
No, really good. Like, what I first found is that it comes obviously with the wireless dongle, plug it on in, works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of oomph to it though. It was kind of like, didn't have that punch.
Mm.
So then I looked at the instructions. If you do buy this headset, look at the instructions. And it's like, hey, it comes with a digital audio adapter. So you plug it in the back. If you have a PS4 Pro or an old PS4, the Slim doesn't have it, and it runs around the front, plugs into the wireless. And
the optical audio?
Yeah, optical audio. So it gives it, and then I'm like, okay, cool. And then you do the settings that it tells you to do, and this thing's just like, when you're like, oh.
Oh, there it is.
Oh. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like flat. There's not like, yeah, I know, like Razer headsets, like most gaming headsets are like known for their bit of the bass punch. I'm like, it's a bit flat. Like, they're all, like, like, you know, the three things of music, like the bass, mids, and the lows, right? So the lows, mids, and the highs, they're all clear. There's no like bleed through. Like listening to Doom as an example, like which is very heavy. So it's like
kind of missing the depth of layers.
A lot of low end, yeah. So a lot of low end, like sometimes if there's a lot of low end, it'll kind of muddy up the other two and sort of phase out like the snare hits and whatnot. Mm. But no, it was coming through crystal. And I was like, ooh. And then I'm like, oh, it's not quite enough. Do the plug, do the settings. I'm like, oh.
So you're a fan?
Oh, I am so far, but I'm yet to try some games with them though.
Well, maybe you should.
And just side note, look how big and effing huge the box is.
It's a big box.
It's a huge box.
Big box for a big boy headset.
That's it. But yeah, so we'll be spending some time with that. Hopefully play some games. I'm trying to think of what games would be good to sort of test out its 3D audio-ness. I'm thinking, obviously, Hellblade's probably going to be a big one.
Doom.
Oh, yeah. Just more Doom. Cool. I want a reason to play Doom. It's fun.
There you go.
Might get some shooters in there. Might play some like Call of Duty. Get some spatial audio stuff. And
yep.
Give it the full run. And the sound isolation's fantastic. Millie yelled at me all morning. I didn't hear it.
I need one. Dad, I'm hungry.
But no, so we'll test some more out and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more next week, and a full review will be coming soon.
Sweet.
That's all I've done. Next. Oh, that's after what we've been playing. Let's talk about what happened this week in a section we called Inform the Players. We tell you the PlayStation news you need to know about.
7 bits news this week. Number one, Sony Ben's open world action game Days Gone never had an official release date, but it's now confirmed it won't release on the PS4 until 2019. Sony rep confirmed the delay in a statement to US Gamer, but provided no further explanation for it.
Yeah, at no point have they ever stated this was coming out in 2018, except Shuhei did say in a panel, I think at PSX last year, he's like, yeah, it's a 2018 game. Which I'm sure at the time it was.
Yeah.
But like, what we're finding, which we'll find out in the next article as well, is I think there's a lot of good game, big games coming into the year, like Red Dead being a big one, right? So mm-hmm. I think they're just kind of like, let's stay away.
I think it could have been 2018 if they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But I think
I still think August would have been perfect.
No, I think they're making the right choice. It also starts 2019 off in a strong way, because you'd assume it'll be January, probably the Monster Hunter slot.
Yeah, no, that makes more sense.
Monster Hunter Resident Evil slot. So, you know, they'll start the year in a big way, apparently. I'm still not sold on it, but
I still want to play it, and that's why I'm bummed.
I want to play it, yeah, but, you know, depending what else is around it, obviously. So I think moving it is the right choice. However, it can't be at E3 this year. It'll be 3 years in a row.
Yeah, God of War's been there for 3 years.
Yeah, that's... It's just becoming a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Wait. Wait.
Yes.
Are you sure it's like...
E3 2016, we got the initial trailer. And then last year, we got the one where it's all like...
With the hanging bodies.
Where it starts off on the road with the bike, and then he walks down, and there's the bear and all that shit as
That's
well,
right, because the first one was just him scaling the building and then taking
and
the big wave.
Looking down on all the
That's
big wave.
That's right.
Yeah? So this will be the third year it's been at E3. So, I don't know. Three is max. You can't go longer.
Yeah, but
than
if
that.
It's coming out, if it's looking at, as you said, if it can maybe a January, February release of 2019, that makes sense. So like,
if they show it at E3, it has to have the
it
actual
has to
date.
Have a date.
The
yeah.
legit date.
There's no fucking around. Yeah. It's got a date.
But no, I'll be happy for January next year because, yeah, the end of the year is kind of getting stacked as well.
Yeah, it's so, slowly creeping up.
You know, you look at 2019 now, you get Days Gone, possibly Ghost of Tsushima.
Very likely.
I think that's Ghost of Tsushima is very likely. Last of Us 2, maybe the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm sort of I think Paul Bloody may have pointed out. He's like, yeah, Last of Us is sounding very 2020 now. Because those two games are similar.
Yeah, that's why they'd have to come out opposite
Other
end
ends,
of the year.
Yeah.
I think delaying The Last of Us, if Last of Us is ready next year, they will put it out next year. Mm. I think delaying it for because Days Gone was out in earlier year, I think they won't do because
No. Last of Us will
apart,
not be delayed.
Yeah. Death Stranding won't be out next year.
Not a chance.
But I'm sure, yeah, Days Gone, Ghost of Tsushima, maybe The Last of Us towards the tail end of the year, maybe.
See, this is where Dave came in, right? Dave's come in with some speculation, a buddy of the show.
Oh, the one who doesn't play consoles because my FPS.
I know.
Amen.
He's on the line who's like, could essentially ask the question, sort of pose the discussion. It's like, could this then be considered the like a first party one of the launch titles for PS5?
Days Gone.
Yeah.
No, fuck no. We're getting the PS5 next year.
That's his theory.
Fuck off. Not a fucking chance.
Why?
They put the Pro out like last year.
2 years ago.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Because it was at the tail end of 2016.
Mm.
A year and a half ago. To put out, like, to say that's now, quote-unquote, obsolete, you know, 2 years later, fuck that noise. Fuck that noise. No, we're not there yet. We're not there. If anything, The Last of Us will be a launch title for the PS5, not Days Gone.
But so I'm saying towards having the end of... So, this is something... So Dave and I were talking about this last night.
But The Last of Us will end up being what they did with the original one.
The tail end,
of PS3 remastered for PS4. It'll come out tail end of PS4 remastered for PS5.
Yeah, so Dave and I were talking about like what... Okay, so let's feed the hype. Say PS5 was coming out next year. How would they do it? And the shorter answer is they would announce that it exists at E3 this year. Maybe get a little taste of it. Maybe we get like something small in PSX. We get the full console reveal in E3 of next year, coming out in November of 2019.
No, I don't buy it.
That is the only way that they can do it.
Yeah, but they won't.
So when they say coming 2019, it doesn't mean it's coming out in like February. Like,
oh, I get that. That's still only a year and a half away.
Yeah, but looking at. Because when we're discussing this theory, I'm diving a little bit deeper. PS4, the exact same thing. So they went, they announced it existed the 1 year, and then the next year they revealed it, and it came out at the end of that year. So there is a year and a half time between announcement and release.
Yeah, no, but it won't be until 2019 they do that. Till they announce it at 2019's E3.
Saying that it'll come out in like 2020.
Yeah. What you said, but a year later.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
But the last time we talked about PS5, we got downvoted to hell anyway, so...
No, that's actually balanced itself out now over time.
Get fucked.
Yeah, that's so good.
Number two, Activision has officially announced Call of Duty 2018. Surprise! Call of Duty... Yes. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, the next entry in Treyarch's Call of Duty series. Black Ops 4 will be released on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC worldwide on Friday, October 12th. Those interested in actually seeing what's in store from the fourth entry in the Black Ops franchise can look forward to a community reveal on May 17th.
Can I point out something with that?
Sure.
Already?
Sure.
Look at the date.
May 17th.
Nope. October 12th. Call of Duty has consistently released in the first week of November for the last, like, 8 years.
Oh, well, when's Red Dead meant to be out?
25th of October. Call of Duty, one of the biggest franchises, got scared by Red Dead. Understandably so.
They're two different games. Why? That appeal,
like,
to different
there's
people.
There's no other reason for them to move the date. Like, the 1st of November, the first week of November is just, they're consistent. Like, I know it's that month because I used to always get it for my birthday from my sister.
All right, well, what's coming in the 1st of November that we don't know about?
Nothing. It's called Red Dead Redemption. Because everyone is staying away from Red Dead Redemption. I can guarantee it.
That's why Days Gone got moved.
Yeah, exactly. You heard it here first. Hot take.
I guess I'm not keen for...
If any, out of all
the Call of Duties, and you got Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, and Treyarch, and then you got the Modern Warfare, and you got all that other shit, I think Treyarch do it best.
Yeah, arguably, I agree with that. Granted, I didn't like Black Ops 3 as much.
I put the most time into Black Ops.
They went a little bit futury.
Well, I did say they're going to ground it a little bit more. But even multiplayer was a bit, you know, you had all your classes and all your specials and all that. But yeah, I think, you know, Treyarch started the zombies thing with World at War. Was it World at War?
Yeah.
It was World at War. Treyarch games seem to have the most content in them.
I'm keen to... So normally we get hands-on with Call of Duty, obviously, at EB Expo, which is normally around about that date, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We get to see a couple weeks before, and it's kind of a good little bit of hype train, and...
So I felt like World War II was my chance to get back in, and I burnt out so quickly on that game.
Did you even buy it?
Yeah. We played it together.
What did you say?
Yeah, I played it like four times and just traded it in. It's gone.
Oh, I had fun with it. Because I hadn't played it in so long.
That was in the height of my I can't play competitive games because of anger issues
stage. Yeah, I agree with that.
God of War director Corey Barlog has confirmed that the upcoming game will not feature microtransactions. Whoa. A Twitter user posted a screenshot showing what could be taken to be in-game currency in the game's menu and asked if there would be microtransactions in the game. Quote, "No freaking way," replied Barlog, who is currently travelling around Europe to promote the game. No surprise there.
The only microtransaction that exists is merchandise, and I bought Old Man Kratos.
Yeah, and you broke him.
I broke him in seconds. That axe, not well made.
No surprise there. Sony are very standoffish on microtransactions. Not to say they don't do them. You know, Naughty Dog multiplayer games have microtransactions.
Yes, but does it take away from the main pump of the game?
But I can't see any reason why they would be in God of War. And apparently so does the studio. So, you know, it's just sad that it's news now. You know what I mean? It's newsworthy that a game won't have them, which kind of sucks. Anyway.
In macro transactions.
What?
Big spending.
Oh. The only micro transaction you have is your deposit for pre-ordering it.
Yeah. Hey. I said no, and the next macro transaction, which is a big purchase, is about to read.
Continuing with God of War, Sony has announced a limited edition God of War PS4 Pro Bundle. As detailed on the PlayStation blog, the console's design is inspired by Kratos' Leviathan axe. The bundle will be released alongside the game in the US and Canada on April 20 for some money that needs to be exchanged.
Go to EB Games, we'll tell you the price.
The bundle features a fully customised PS4 Pro console, a Leviathan-grade DualShock 4 wireless controller with insignia, a physical copy of God of War and digital content. The top surface of the console is the axe skill tree players will use to upgrade the weapon, along with the runic gem slots on the axe's handle, which enable special attacks.
The controller is purchasable separately as well. Community member Sam knows. He's the controller collector.
I remember
I remember posting the picture. I'm like, hey, look what's got announced. Let's get this. Fuck. From him, he's like, I've got to buy that controller now.
Yeah. It looks cool.
It looks really cool. I'm not going to swap it over because I like my all black Pro.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, where my console sits, you don't see it. The controller I could get behind, but the console decals and all that themselves, like mine's in a TV cabinet. So I don't know. It does nothing for me.
Yeah, I have been wanting to buy a new controller. I'm thinking I want a pretty one, but I haven't really bit the bullet yet.
What made the world of difference for my controllers was I got those little rubber thumb grip grips.
Yeah.
I can't play without them. Because when I got my new PS4 a few months ago, I got a new controller with it, obviously without the thumb grips. I can't play it. It feels like my thumb's just a slippery on it, yeah? And these little $2 for 10 pairs off eBay, such a big difference.
Yeah, and then we try to go back to play PS2. It had the domed.
Oh, yeah, that's
and right. Like, what the fuck is this?
What were they thinking? If you want it in Oz, head over to probably EB Games and JB Hi-Fi, I suppose.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter World has now shipped 7.5 million copies, making it the best-selling game in Capcom's history. Announced in a press release, it outdoes the best efforts of Resident Evil, Street Fighter, Mega Man, and Devil May Cry. This achievement comes before World even gets a PC release, currently scheduled for autumn this year. Capcom's previous bestseller was Resident Evil 5, which has shipped 7.3 million copies as of December 2017. World has previously become the fastest selling Capcom's game in history, but this is a more important milestone to the developer.
Yeah, we should also mention that it's ship numbers, not sold numbers. Mm-hmm. However,
that's in 2 months.
Because you got to remember, you can ship, if they wanted to, they could ship 10 million copies. Be like, we shipped 10 million copies. Now, granted, they'll only ship as many as they think they can sell. Yeah. So it's not like.
It's not like EB Games has 800 copies sitting in their storeroom, yeah?
I'm being cynical here, but like, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, almost as much as, or probably equal to Horizon, I think. What did we report on last week? They sold 7.5.
Yeah.
Or was it shipped?
They sold.
Yeah. That's, you know, these numbers even without a PC release, that's wicked. They've done great things and I hope it continues for them. I'll put this one in just for you because I don't really care. South Park, The Fractured But Whole's new DLC is launching later this month. Titled From Dusk Till Casa Bonita. The add-on content will be available on March 20th for PS4, Xbox One, PC. DLC is priced at $12 US. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Well,
that's a really good price. It'll feature a new story, campaign, and superhero class. The story follows Mysterion's sister, who's fallen in with the Vamp Kids of South Park. The Vamp Kids have taken over Cartman's favourite restaurant, Casa Bonita, and it's up to you to explore Black Bart's cave, indulge in some tasty Mexican food, and defeat the brood of vampires. The new Netherborn class will be introduced. It comes with 4 new occult powers. You'll also fight alongside power support witch named Henrietta the Goth, and have a chance to dress up in new goth costumes.
See, I love this. Just because of the reference alone. Like, it's a straight reference to From Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah. You know, the Robert Rodriguez movie?
Yeah.
The whole idea is them going, they essentially go to, like, a bar that's full of, like, vampires and shit. Like, it's like, they're like, okay, cool, we're going to do From Dusk Till Dawn, but it's Casa Bonita, because, you know,
I remember that episode being just fantastic.
Yeah, Casa Bonita
episode.
I can't wait. Like, I'm really keen because I love Dust from Dusk Till Dawn. I can't wait to see
what
the references are.
Best thing for you is that you can jump into the DLC knowing you've also finished the base game. Yeah?
But the question is, do I play it again on Switch now that it's coming to Switch?
Nah.
Nah, I can't.
Nah. I don't think... doesn't seem like there's much replayability. like different paths you can take, other than changing your character class and stuff.
Which I can do online.
But story wise, it wasn't really a branching kind of thing. So I don't think so. Nah, it's still on PS4. Although, you know, being able to play it in bed would be pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. But then you got to pay another $80 to get it on the Switch.
Yeah. Well, we can make some emails.
Now, this news may or may not be relevant on Monday, but it's worth mentioning. Amazon Australia have a 1 terabyte PS4 for slim. 1 terabyte PS4 Slim for $329. There is no finish date on the website, but as of recording, it is still available. That's cheap as chips. Mm. That is a very good price. Bit upset because 2 months ago I paid nearly $500 for the same thing.
Sorry, I just thought of something else we need to talk about. We haven't done it yet.
Okay. So yeah, it's worth checking. If you're in the market, check out Amazon Australia. You may quickly be able to scoop up a good deal. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to go into top selling games first?
It's not the least we can do about it. So one thing that we mentioned that we have played since last week that we forgot to talk about is Frantix, the latest PlayLink game.
We did do that, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. So thank you to PlayStation Australia for providing us the code for Frantix. So it is the latest in the PlayLink sort of section of games. This one is think Mario Party a little bit.
Mini games. So you've got, for example, you've got parachuting. You've got like trying to knock each other off the edge of a map. What else was there? Like kart racing. What is it? Just like sprinting forward and dodging obstacles and stuff like that. Yeah, mini games.
So this has a very interesting like aesthetic. I keep saying interesting. It has a very like unique aesthetic with its claymation sort of looks. Everything has the weird like little fingerprint touches, and everything looks kind of janky. All the characters look stoned.
Yeah.
And like the main character is a fox, but also looks like a drunk Crash Bandicoot. Yeah. So you, myself, and Alex, your son, played it together last week. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. In... what are we played three?
We played every PlayLink game at this point, except
But I mean, as far as Frantix goes, we played three full like
we
games?
Played three full runs. Yeah,
there was a lot of,
and we still hadn't played them all.
Well, I was gonna say there was a bit of overlap between them as well.
I think they randomly picked them because I was going.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine it would.
Because when you went off and had a cigarette, yeah. Alex and I were looking through the menus to see what other modes there were.
Okay.
And there were a ton that we haven't played.
We also only played the shortest mode.
We played the shortest tutorial one, and then we did a full length one.
Mm. No, it was all right. I mean,
another one.
You know, it just expands PlayLink's library to kind of, you know, have the thing for everyone. Mm. You know, that's you. It's good family fun. Knowledge is power is probably more adulty because of the quizzical nature of it. Hidden Agenda is definitely adulty, whereas Frantix is
somewhere
in
the middle. It's like
Frantix. It's got a bit of like seedy adult humor to it, like, you know, just a bit of a yeah, because the fox is like seedy as fuck
and drunk,
clearly drunk and possibly on methamphetamines. But it is, you know, it's easy for kids to grasp as well.
Yeah,
like there was no mini game where Alex is like, I don't understand what's going
yeah,
on.
So compared to the other ones, this uses a lot of your phone in terms of its accelerometer and so there's a lot, rather than focusing on your phone like the previous ones do, because they were, as you can see from the, if you have seen the Let's Plays we've done in the past, it's really tough to capture because a lot of it happens on your phone. Mm. Where here, it's mostly just the movement.
Gyrating.
It's like the gyration, you know, the thrusting.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I mean, I don't know if I'd play it with the group of friends my age, but playing it with the kids makes it a bit more enjoyable, I think. But yeah, if you're going to play a PlayLink game with, you know, 25, 30-year-olds...
It'd be knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power, or that's you. Frantix is a bit more, you know, family fun, I think.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable. I wouldn't mind playing it a bit more just to see some of the other levels, because, like you said, we missed out on a fair few.
It is on the PopC account, so you can jump in there and have a fiddle around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm in the same vein as you. I don't think it's probably going to be the must play when people come around. Mm. But I think it's simple enough to sort of be grasped by anyone. Like,
yeah.
I might play it with my mum and my stepdad if they come around. My stepdad probably not so much because, you know, he's a hardcore gamer now.
Yeah.
For a while there, he was like, yeah, I'll try it. And then he's like, I just destroyed The Witcher and now I'm destroying Horizon. Mm. I'm like, yeah, you're not going
to
be insane.
You need to try to get him onto like Dark Souls. Bloodborne's free this month. You should get him onto it. Just
see
how he takes to it, because Bloodborne combat, I'm probably going to get fucking hate of this, but is similar to The Witcher in a way. Same kind of movements. You know,
a lot of
you got your rolling and your dodging
in its simplest form. Light heavy dodge.
Yeah, it's just much more deadly.
Yeah,
of course. But I don't know. Be interesting to see how he translates over to a game of
Well, I think they're coming to visit soon, so I'll get him to try it here so he doesn't have to... I don't think he has PS Plus.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get him to have a try.
But yeah, Frantic might would be the game, you know, you play a couple other playing games and people are like, oh, well, you know, what else is there? You know, chuckle, Frantic.
What's next?
Yeah. No, it's good.
Good, good like popcorn game, like popcorn food. Mm. All right, moving on. Thank you. Sorry, I just forgot that we haven't mentioned that. We should have. Thank you, PlayStation.
Top-selling PSN games for week ending 4th of March 2018. Starting at number 10, Back in the Fray, GTA 5. Number 9, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. Number 8, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 7, GT Sport. Number 6, UFC 3. Number 5, Crash and the Sane Trilogy. Number 4, Destiny 2. Number 3, Shadow of the Colossus. Number 2, COD World War 2. And number 1, Monster Hunter World.
No more Monster Motocross.
Damn. Yeah, people figured out that was shit real quick. It didn't take much.
Yeah, a lot of repeats there. Nothing too majorly new.
Nah. Nothing's really released. You know, obviously, I think in 2 weeks, Far Cry 5 will be number one. I think it's pretty easy guess in that respect.
I want Far Cry like now.
Speaking of Far Cry 5, that's it for the news, Ryan, as we chat to the players about Ubisoft. So I think I got a actually, no, one more bit of news.
Oh,
Donald
sorry.
Trump had his chit-chat with the video game violence highlight reel
this week. What I love is the jokes. In the wake of all the school shootings, because Trump watches Fox News and someone said on Fox News that it's a result of violent video games, he's like, we should look into this. Maybe have a rating system. And everyone laughed directly in his face. And he's like, well, I'm going to have a summit. And I'm going to bring a bunch of game people in to have a discussion about
which
games.
Which he didn't. The only like big game publisher that was there was
originally
from Take-Two.
Sent some SMSs to like Mario and like Sonic, and they realized they're not real.
Just picturing him messaging Sonic's fake Twitter account. You know, like the parody account of
Sonic. He's like, look, Sonic, you want to come to my... Hunter's like, what the fuck? My name's John, and this is a fake cake, idiot.
So, yeah.
And then he eventually brought a couple of people with only one notable games person, which is Strass Zelnick from Take-Two, which makes sense why he would attend, being Grand Theft Auto, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, they put together, like, a highlight reel of video game violence.
Mostly Call of Duty.
Which is a lot of Call of Duty, and obviously context was not there, you know, why is this happening.
But they did also show the no Russian...
Yeah, but you'd think that'd be Trump's favourite level.
He loves the Russians, though.
I just thought it was...
Because they showed the double cross at the end where they're like, when they shoot, and he's like, that's what he didn't like.
Can you change this game?
He's like gunning down the people, and that's fine. That's good. It's great.
There's funny, like, you know, I've seen a few on Reddit, like, it's become a meme now. It's like the screen cap of the YouTube page with, you know, exposing violent video games, but they've changed like the image on the screen, and one of them's like Super Mario 64 holding the penguin off the cliff, and it's like violent video games exposed.
But you know what's really fucked about this, right? They essentially made a highlight reel of what they would consider the most violent games, right? Mm. They didn't age gate the video. Your 8-year-old son could... Your 8-year-old son could go and watch that clip.
He's probably played half the game.
Such an issue, and it should be not out of the hands of children. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But nothing will come out of that because it's a waste of fucking time.
And, you know, like I said, normally the violence has some kind of context, which, you know, if you look at not just that snippet, but the thing as a whole, you kind of go, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, like, and like they've selected, as I said, a lot of Call of Duty, so a lot of military... I'm not sure whether Trump's aware, as part of the military, you're violent. You'll do a lot of violence.
He wouldn't know because he dodged the draft twice.
He did because he had a sore foot.
Yeah. What I'd love to see come of this is like Activision and Ubisoft copyright claim the video, get it taken down.
Oh!
That would be the best.
Oh, I just got this level of excitement in my chest.
Just, you know, trying to boot up the video. It's like, you know, this video has been removed due to copyright, whatever. And it says, like, yeah, DMC claims and shit from all the publishers whose footage was shown on it. Too bad they didn't show a Nintendo game on there, because that'd be fucking right on
there. Yeah, if they show GTA gets pulled instantly. Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah, they're in the room with Strass Zelnick, and he's like, I'm pulling that video now. And then Trump puts on a whole different... He's like... Then he takes on YouTube. Like, after all these years of us, you know, YouTubers getting our videos taken down unnecessarily, he's like...
Copyright claimed by Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's like, this is bullshit. This is the real problem here. I'm like, boy.
Email, you know, For the Players episode 44 has had a copyright strike from Donald Trump. Yeah, that's it for the news, Ryan. Let's have a chat to the players about Ubisoft. What have they been doing recently? What are they doing?
They announced Division 2 is on its way.
Yeah, so Massive Entertainment and Ubisoft have announced Tom Clancy's a Division 2, which spurred me to get back into the game. No real details of the game have been revealed, but we know the sequel will run on an updated version of the Snowdrop engine that powered the original Division 2 years ago, as well as Mario plus Rabbids. Just forget that last little bit.
Yeah, the game's good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Really good.
Quite very different graphical styles.
Yeah, very.
As ever, several Ubisoft studios will support the lead developer, in this case Ubisoft Annecy, Red Storm, Reflections, Ubisoft Bucharest, and Ubisoft Shanghai. Creative director Julian Garrity has said the sequel will take, quote, everything we learned over the past 2 years and applying it towards a sequel to make sure we get it right. So
that's pretty much this topic this week, so pretty much, where you're going with this.
That's pretty much exactly what Bungie said about Destiny, right? Because Destiny 1 at launch was okay. Pretty much what the Division was when we jumped in. It was okay, you know, you get through it and there's not really too much
to do. Yeah, it's mostly Dark Zone
stuff.
By
the end of the life cycle of Destiny 1, the game was fucking brilliant and there was so much content and all the things to do. And then they went to Destiny 2 and they just gutted it completely. Now, this is, I think, a good chance for the Division to really show how a sequel to this kind of game can be done. What are you doing?
I'm fine. I put a status up about Ubisoft things to the group, so yeah. I want to talk about those sort of things. Okay. So I'm finding that just in preparation.
So Bungie should be scared, for starters, because where the Division is now compared to where it was 2 years ago when it launched is two very, very different places. And that kind of goes for Ubisoft as a whole. Mm-hmm. Recently, you look at games like what they've done with Assassin's Creed, you know, swallowing their pride, recognizing, hey, we need to give this franchise a break. And they did, and it really paid off, from what I'm told. I haven't played it.
It did really pay off. Origins,
it's very positive reception.
Yeah, Origins is really, really good. And because essentially the big statement that they made along the lines of, if you stop buying it, we'll change it.
Mm. And they...
And then then people stop buying. They're like, guess what? We're going to change it. Mm. And contrary to their previous, you know, form of new Assassin's Creed every year, they've gone, oh. And even this year, there's no word. I think they made a statement that there's like no plans for a sequel. Like right now, it's double down.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what Ubisoft have done impressively recently. Like they're doubling down.
Yeah. Well, you look at Rainbow Six Siege when it launched. It was kind of like a flash in the pan. It wasn't really much of anything. It was there. But they've given it the support. Instead of abandoning it, and this is the key thing they've been doing recently, instead of abandoning a project they think is maybe not making good return, they're like, no, stick with it, make it work. And they have with Siege. It's one of the most played games going around. It's always in the top 10. Same thing with Ghost Recon Wildlands, still getting updated, they're still doing things. You might not hear much about it, but they haven't abandoned it. Same with The Division. With the announcement of Division 2, they're like, but rest assured, The Division 1, here's our roadmap for the rest of the year. Because you're still getting updates for Division 1 throughout this year. You know, in July you're getting this, and in later in the year you're getting that as well. So they're really like putting their foot down and being like, no, we're going to stick with these properties and we're going to make
them work.
Not just
going to be like, there's a sequel coming. Foot!
Yeah, and they've been taking some risks as well. You know, we've had Steep, which didn't really do much.
Didn't really do well, but it's still around.
But they still did it.
They just had the huge expansion for the Winter Olympics.
Yep. For Honor, still getting supported.
I got an email 3 days ago, and they now have dedicated servers.
Which maybe would have helped if they had them at launch, but hey, they're still sticking with it.
I think they had servers in Australia. I think that was sort of the key of the email. But you know, like that's the thing. That game really, by definition, was sort of flash in the pan. Like, everyone played it really quickly, and then they all sort of bummed out on it. Mm. Now, obviously, there's still a hardcore, dedicated fan base, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, they've put that time in. They've put that effort in. And then, you know, can't forget Far Cry. Far Cry.
Yeah, Far Cry. Mario versus Rabbids as well.
Speaking on Far Cry as well, so this goes with what they've said in terms of where they're going. So the game is even out, yes, and of course they've already mentioned the season pass, but they've gone, this is exactly what the season pass is. There's these three games, like there's think like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. They've done that. Yeah. They're like, hey, here's three expansions.
One of them's on Mars or something.
Yeah, one of them's on Mars, one of them's in Vietnam, and it's kind of like, so rather than being like, hey, here's one and two others that are coming later, they've done the right thing and they've gone, here is what, like, this is exactly what we're playing. And you get Far Cry 3.
Now, from a business standpoint, you know, they've still got the microtransaction to that, but looking at the games themselves, I'm just really surprised looking at, like, their current catalog. It's just really refreshing to see all these games still getting support. And, you know, you don't see Activision dropping money on these new little indie games and stuff. Like, you think, like, Child of Light was published by Ubisoft. That was a cute little indie game.
Yeah, the Ubi Arts, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I thought it was a really nice game. But you don't see EA doing things like that. You don't see...
Well, they do. They do have, like... They have, like... like, Unravel was one. Fey was the most recent one. Yeah. Ubi, like, do they... What they do is they only ever... They invest money in a smaller game, but they'll only ever ask for what they invested back. So any other additional, like, they're like, hey, we want 30% of your profits, whatever. Yeah. It's just like, look, we invested 200 grand, give us 200 grand back when it's done, and then.
And like, if a year and a half ago you said, you know, will The Division be around in 3 years? I would have said, fuck no.
I said, hell no. I would very, very advocately say no.
They'll give it what they obligated to give at the start, you know, with your season pass, and then they'll bail because it's not making them return. But no,
and we should mention, Ubisoft made South Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. But yeah, it's like they're saying to all their dev teams on their games, do what you want to do. We'll sit back. We're here for help if you need it. But you do what you need to do to make this work. Now, and that is such a refreshing thing.
Yes, today. But granted, a lot of this could be come at the decision of the Vivendi takeover or the attempt. So what, for those that don't know, over the last couple of years, Vivendi has slowly been trying to buy more and more of Ubisoft in order to have sort of essentially a hostile takeover, right? Mm-hmm. So Ubi have done... sort of, they just double. I'll say it again. They've doubled down. They're like, okay, we can't give any of our investors, any of our stockholders, a reason to sell their shit. We need it. Like, we need to keep the family of Ubisoft running.
And if that is the reason, that's even cooler, I think. Yeah,
because they're like, well, we don't want this.
So now, like, they seem like the underdog, like fighting off attacks from all sides, and they're like, no, we're gonna keep saying double down. We're gonna do what we need to do to keep it in the family.
Exactly.
Fuck you, everyone else. Yeah. And they're like, with the shit, like pew pew pew, like blocking all these bullets, and it makes them seem like the underdog of the story. And I think that's cool as well.
Yeah, that part is really cool. But I guess, you know, that's it, it's given them a new way to look at it, rather than being like, we'll just make games that we'll know that we'll make money.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. That's like, oh no, we need to make games that work. We need to support these games. We need to keep people coming back.
So going back to talk of The Division, you know, so. Under the category of, let's call them looter shooters, yeah? You got Destiny 2.
Looter shooter, cool name.
Yeah, I read it on Reddit somewhere. Aww. I read it on Reddit. You got Destiny, you got The Division, you've got Anthem coming. Yeah. Now, this is just nothing to do with anything, but one I'd love to see enter the fray as an online looter shooter is Borderlands 3.
Ooh, shit.
But yeah,
fuck.
What I was saying before, Bungie...
Who makes... Take 2.
2K.
No, 2K.
Yeah. Bungie should be worried because Destiny 2 has just been the biggest flop, and all the shady shit they've been caught out doing, and then they'll apologize, and then this and that, and stuff people have been asking for from the start, or stuff that's not working, isn't getting updated, there's just shitty communication all around. Whereas if Massive Entertainment can stick to the quote of everything we learned over the past 2 years and applying it towards a sequel to make sure we get it right, if they can stick to that and do it, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, so like with Division 1, now, because I've watched a couple of streams recently, because our buddy Jack Cruz from 8-Bit, he's been streaming it recently. I actually watched him get the plat.
Apparently it's a dirty plat, isn't it? Isn't it meant to be like a real filthy plat? Yeah, it
wasn't very fun. Yeah. Like, watched him get frustrated. So him and Tom from Explosion Network, I was watching them sort of do the multiplayer Dark Zone ones. Mm. And you should have seen Jack's face when that platinum popped.
Yeah.
He's like, it took so long. But this time I'm watching it, I'm like, oh no, I'm feeling like I can see the itch. I can see the appeal. Like, even in the single player stuff, the story was not overly amazing, but it was compelling enough. Like, I remember sort of, I enjoyed the push forward and gathering information and finding the little...
the echoes.
Echoes and that sort of stuff. And I enjoyed that. And the only issue that we had, which granted you've just corrected me for, which I still disagree with, was that, because I remember you had just... You were working less or something. At the time, we were like, yeah, we'll play this together. We'll actively only play at the same time just so we can get to a good point. And, you know, and then out of nowhere, you're like, yeah, I'm playing with this other guy and we fucking steamrolled you. And then eventually I kind of...
I don't remember who else I was playing with.
I got another guy from previous employment.
I can't even think of who that would be. But,
and then you're like, oh, no, like 8 missions ahead of you. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But I don't think I was that far ahead of you by the end because we did continue to play it together.
Yeah, but I don't really. That lost all enjoyment for me. So I probably
But that's your problem. Same with Destiny 2, You know, my friends are max level and I'm not, so I'm just not going to play.
No, because I'm like, just, yeah, we'll play together. But it's kind
of
fun.
The thing with these kinds of games is the end game starts at max level.
Yeah, but I don't like being carried.
I wasn't going to... In Destiny, I said, I'll start a new character. I'll just play with that. I'll just play with you. You're like, nope, I don't want to because you've already done it. It's not, not a surprise for both of us.
That sounds like... I don't remember saying that, but that does sound like me.
But,
but like, I'm...
feeling the itch.
Destiny didn't really do it for me anyway.
It didn't do it for a lot of people, apparently. But with The Division, I'm not even at the point where I don't think, you know, everything they've done in the last 2 years, I don't think I'm even at that point where I get to, you know, reap the benefits of that, because I believe most of that will happen at max level.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to see them do for The Division 2 is a bit more of a varied landscape.
Yeah, because we've got New York. Yeah,
very samey, but you do go into the sewers and there's tunnels and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Once again, we haven't played any of the DLC, so it is possible that the DLC may have changed some of the locale.
I'd like to see it a little bit more fantastical. Okay. I mean, you know, your enemies, you know, you got your gang members and the flamethrower guys and the scientists, and then you got, like, the enemy, like, SWAT teams and stuff. But
they were very grounded.
Yeah, that's the thing though. It's very grounded, and I think it might benefit from going just a little bit further. I mean, everyone got infected by a virus. It's not a new storyline. So if you're going to go that route, embrace it. You know, maybe have a subsection of people who are infected hid underground, and because there was no sunlight, they fucking mutated from the virus, and now they're like five arm fucked up creatures and shit.
Ooh.
You know, go a little bit further. You've taken, you know, the whole the virus has wiped out humanity, yada yada yada. That's been done 1,000 times before. So put a spin on it then, you know. Go, and maybe they have in the DLC, like you said, maybe I haven't seen that yet. But
or
a lot of the end game, from what I've seen online, is the enemies are just bullet sponges. Mm. There's nothing exciting about them. It's just a dude who does a lot of damage and has a fuck ton of health. And you know, that's MMOs, I guess, as well for a boss, but you know, just push it a little bit further and give us, a more varied environment. Because I did have a moment when I was playing it yesterday where, you know, there's always snow everywhere, but I went out and it was like a snowstorm and I couldn't see shit. And I'm like, this is fucking wicked. Mm. Like, I can't see 10 feet ahead of me. And apparently they do have a survival mode now where you get put in the map, think like PUBG, but it's about 20 people and you start with nothing, but you need to, like, find, like, jackets to keep your heat up because it's freezing. And I think you get like a loot chest at the end, which you take the gear with you, like, because it's your main character, so you get to keep the loot out of it as well.
Ooh.
That sounds cool, but I think that's max level only.
Oh, I'll try that.
But like, so you're in New York, maybe a square subsection of it, and it's this huge snowstorm, and you can't see in front of you, and you need to get food, you need to get, like, you know, clothing, and try to scavenge weapons and be the last one alive, and you still got your, like, abilities and shit. That sounds cool, but I think that's max level only, so I haven't been able to check that out yet myself.
Well, so what I think, you know, Division 2 is the whole idea of humanity's wiped out, right? And you guys are the only survivors.
Only New York.
Yeah. Yeah. So so you need to repopulate New York, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so it becomes like a fuck game.
Yeah, it becomes a fuck game. Fuck simulator. The division of cells as we make people pregnant.
Vivendi, have at it. That's the end of Ubi as we know it.
We've learned, we've listened. This game's about fucking.
Who doesn't like fucking? Let's do it. But I'm excited.
Like,
we've got here's a gameplay preview. It's really
E3. This is The Division.
And then the occasional.
And there's an echo of two other people doing it, but you don't see it.
But then the camera pans at the end, and it's just bare asses. I don't think that'll work. But
no, not very successful.
But if somebody new dev wants to do that, I'll be all.
Oh, I'd watch the shit out of that game.
I am excited for The Division 2. I did it the time we had with The Division 1. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward now to hopefully getting to that max level and just kind of not giving it hundreds of hours, but just getting there, seeing what there is to offer and what number 2 might be like.
I would consider picking it up, but knowing that Far Cry is 2 weeks away. And
then God of War, and then Detroit.
Yeah, like we're pretty nuts for the next couple of months. Well, I am at least. So, like, because I've randomly hit my Far Cry hype.
Okay.
Like, I played it, you know, last year at you know, PAX and EB Expo. I'm like, yeah, nah, feeling it. Feeling this is cool. It's a while away. It's fine. And then it got delayed. Then I kind of forgot about it. And then it's like, hey, it comes out this month. I'm like, what?
It's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I saw a video and it's like, hey, we've made this live action video about the main character. I'm like, whoo!
Yeah.
And it seemed like, you know, baptizing people in this lake and accidentally drowns a black woman. It's like, everyone's like, what the shit? And then he's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, as in like, who's next?
Yeah.
And then the next person still walks in. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, that means something. Oh,
see, I didn't play number four. I played number three, didn't play four.
Love three.
Platinumed Primal. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's but right. I did. You learned that to me like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you've still got it here. Yeah.
I was going to play it today, actually.
The thing I'm most excited for about five isn't the gameplay or anything like that, because it's Far Cry. It's going to play like Far Cry does, but it really is the setting and the story. I just love stories of like religious cults, except for our last two, because that was fucking rubbish. But the way they're going with it, like story wise, from what I've seen, does seem very, very cool.
That's why it's picking interest. They did mention they're not going to dive too deep in like political commentary or anything.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want political commentary. Yeah. I just want a good story.
Yeah.
You know, it does seem, I think they said something like they're not doing like the radio towers for the map and all that kind of stuff.
I think
again,
they will
something
be there,
similar, but
not,
yeah, not quite that. I'm looking
forward to hauling ass across Montana.
Mm.
Like, because at the end of the demo that we played, you essentially just get into a semi truck and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just went to like the next little base and shot. I'm just like, fuck it. I just fanged it. I'm like, I want to see how far
Sleeping
I can
demo
get.
Area.
And the demo, yeah, I was like, it doesn't seem to stop. And then I hit a jump and boom, and then it disappeared. I'm like, okay, there's the limit.
Of course they're going to.
But no, I'm super keen for Far Cry 5. We'll be talking about it here, of course. We'll be playing it, of course. Mm. I have reached out to Ubisoft.
What
but,
is the date?
Who knows
what
will happen? The 27th?
Please don't be the 27th.
Yeah, 27th March.
Okay. Please don't be the 25th.
Why 25th?
That's Alex's birthday, so I wouldn't be able to play. Unless he wanted to play, I'll play with him. 27th, what's that? That's a Tuesday. Ah, oh, school holidays. Fuck. No. It's a week before school holidays. Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
I'm super keen to check that out. But that game's out in 2 weeks. You know, Division 2 is not out for ages.
It won't be till 2019 at least. Yeah. It's not coming out this year.
Before we jump into the next section, as I was trying to segue, comment below. Let us know what you think of the Division 2. Is it something that you're keen to jump in? And if you want, you can also jump in with Joshua and play some Division 1. Our PSNs are always in the description. But that's enough of what's coming out in the future. Let's look at the games that are coming this week in a section we call Coming to the Players, which is essentially us just telling you what's in the drop.
The 25th Ward, The Silver Case, PS4 Digital and Retail. Alchemist Castle, PS4 Digital. The American Dream, PSVR Digital. Let me read it.
I want to jump on that for a second.
Samurai Punk presents The American Dream, a satirical virtual reality trip to a brighter future.
Okay, so it is a VR game that's sort of a commentary satire.
Everyone has guns. Even the dog on the barbecue has a gun.
So I played this last year the year before at PAX. And the whole idea is guns. Everything is guns. You know, your mum is a cardboard cutout in the game. So you're a baby in a cot and she's feeding you from a gun.
Okay.
And then later on, your character ages and you're working like a burger place and you're shooting burgers together. Like, everything is done via guns. It's stupid and I loved it. And the whole, because the way, like, you're seated in the game constantly, and when you want to reload, you just smack buttons on the chairs and these two clips go, and you're going to go, you know, it's like you got to load it in midair and stuff.
So is it satirical political commentary in a way?
No, it's at the time it was just like, Americans like guns. But now, now that it's where it's coming out, it's like, ooh, you have something to say. It's like, no, we just like made a cool game. But I guess now we have something to say. And
yeah.
Very keen to check it out. I didn't know. I knew it was coming to Vive and all that sort of stuff. They did mention PS4 when we chat to them at the time, but
that'll be out on the 14th.
Very cool.
So, Tuesday.
Be playing the shit out of that. Might even stream it for a laugh.
Armello, PS4 Retail.
Australian game, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Armello is a grim fairy tale board game come to life, full of swashbuckling adventure, combining deep tactical card play, rich tabletop strategy, and RPG elements. That actually sounds... I think I've seen a trailer for this at some point, and I think it did interest me.
I reached out ages back to try to get a hands on it, and then they never heard back. I was like, we'll get to that at some point. Mm. And then life just got in the way.
I might pick it up, depending on price. Beast Quest, PS4, digital and retail.
Pretty sure our buddies over at Dooven Game Bro went some early hands-on with that game, so I might go check them out when you're done here.
I'll put a link to their website in the video description. Burnout Paradise Remastered. Apparently a lot of people were excited for this.
I like Burnout Paradise. I think it's still pretty good. I'm curious on it, like how remastered it is. But no, I'm interested.
The Council, PS4 digital. Cruise Brothers, PS4 digital. Devil May Cry HD Collection, PS4
Who
digital
asked
and retail.
For that? That's the real question.
I didn't mind a bit of Devil May Cry back in the day.
Will you play it now?
No.
Back in the day, yeah. Now, not so much.
Bayonetta surpassed Devil May Cry.
Yeah, very much so.
Gal Gunvolt Burst, PS4 digital. Hakuoki Edo Blossoms, PS Vita digital and retail. People are still out there, like, for the Vita, like, they're doing it.
They're trying.
They're trying to keep it afloat, poor thing. The Long Reach, PS4 digital. Poor thing. Poor baby. Maria the Witch, PS4 digital. Neuro Voider, PS Vita digital. Pure Farming, 2018.
So you think this PS4 would get me excited, and it does a little bit.
It's not
but
fantastic.
I did also play it at PAX last year. It was very good.
You finished the demo, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I got further than anybody else. Because everyone else was like, this is dumb and bounce.
The way you talk about that is like it's your crowning achievement.
Yeah, but then I'm like, the big difference is I'm like, I did it. But contrary to the fact everyone's like, this is dumb and bounce. I'm like, I'm gonna hold my ground.
Plus the booth work was like glaring over your shoulder the entire time.
Yeah, because no one had walked over in like 20 minutes.
QB2, PS4 digital, or QUBE2.
Just Cube.
Yeah, maybe. The Raven Remastered, PS4 digital and retail.
I don't remember the first one being a thing.
Surviving Mars, PS4 digital and retail. Tesla versus Lovecraft, PS4 digital. On the eve of Nikola Tesla's greatest invention, his laboratory is burned down by the inhuman minions of the horror author H.P. Lovecraft. A showdown of epic proportions begins.
That sounds batshit.
And the thumbnail is Tesla with like a Tesla gun or something with a
big
jet.
Rave fancy guns and shit. Yeah,
purple lightning. That sounds kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Zeus Quest Remastered, PS4 Digital.
Not as cool.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's done.
If you enjoy that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to join in that conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love of pop cultures on your buddy, if you want to show the pop cultures, you can do that too. Head to popcultures.com/shop where you can buy shirts, cups, mugs, hoodies with our logo on it. We have a bunch of shit there. It's all well and good. Thank you so much if you do happen to pick something up. But until then, I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.